Well, we've been somewhat considering the church, Cleveland Heights Church, what the Lord has brought us through since 2005, since we've begun meeting here in the city of Cleveland Heights and the Alcazar Hotel. And, you know, so we want to take a little break from Luke in the month of January. And talk about a few things, just a few different topics, so we'll kind of be jumping around to different verses. But we asked the Lord, like, what have you done among us? What have you brought us through? What have you instilled in us through the history, you know, that we've been here for the last six or so years? And kind of felt like there's four items with a fifth plus, four items plus. And this is going to be reflected in January 22nd. We're going to be starting classes, like you could say, like Sunday classes in the morning, 9:30 here, 9:30 to 10:30, just to cover different topics. And we were wondering, you know, Lord, what have you put on our heart? Actually, the classes came out of the "What have you put on our heart?" It's not we made a class and then tried to figure out what do you want us to do. But I'd say four things. Number one, the Lord has really brought us into a life with the Bible. Number one, a life with the Bible. And it's a life where we feel like it is a joy. It is a treasure. It is an encouragement. It is a necessity. It is a whatever important word there is to have a life just continually exploring the Word of God, continually. That means together we're exploring the Word of God. That means on your own in the morning before things start to stir, it's really good to just have a little time in the Word. And there are treasures in here. There are hard things in here. And we like to use that Sunday class to, you know, the first session of that Sunday class, first, you know, several weeks, will be just to explore some of those things with the Bible. Second thing is service. You know, we don't hire people, although there's a lot of people sometimes serving full-time, but we don't hire special people if we have special needs. We expect everyone to pitch in because why? This is the body of Christ, and the members of the body all function, and everyone has a portion, and we like to explore that. And the third thing is gospel. If you look at what Cleveland Heights Church has done over the last 6 years, you think like, wow, we have had a lot of different outreach events, you know, and, you know, we'd like to just make this part of our DNA. We reach out. We reach out. Whether it works or not, that's up to the Lord. We like to learn, but we just want to have that kind of thought in us. What is the church here for? Church is here to be a testimony to the Lord's life and a testimony of His salvation. So we like to do things like children's fairs, parades. We had a film festival, World's Best Dessert, all of these kinds of things. What is our goal at those things? Well, is there a way that we, as a small band of believers, can announce the good news of Jesus' salvation? Then the third thing, fourth thing, is a real vibrant inner life. You know, we believe that people should have an inner life with the Lord. That means it's not unusual for you to say in your life, "The Lord spoke to me." And it's not weird. A lot of people say, "Lord spoke to me," and it's kind of a little bit weird. You know, it's like, "Lord spoke to me." Wasn't there a guy that said, "Lord spoke to me," and he jumped into the lion's den? You remember that in the news? Anyway, it's not like that. But it just can be really simple. The Lord spoke to me. I have the sense of the Lord's presence within. He told me, "Oh, nice tie, Rex," as opposed to another tie. And told me, "Wow, the way I talked to my wife was totally inappropriate. Thank you, Lord." "Wow, the way I reacted in this situation, I need to apologize." You know, this is not something that, you know, you find a set of rules and you follow them, although there are a lot of suggestions. commandments in the Bible. But it's like there's a life inside of you, and Jesus Christ is inside of you. And that life needs to be fostered, developed. So anyway, those four things. And then to top it all off, what we like to do in January is, there's one more thing the Lord brought us through, is just kind of a real appreciation for the church. And so I'd like to do a series. The church is for blank. The church is for blank. And the first one is, it's really obvious. It's so obvious. It's almost like, and I was thinking, like, what is my takeaway from this message? And I don't know, maybe you can help me. Like, what do we do when we go home after this message? I don't know. But the one thing is the church is here for Christ. The church is for Christ. One time, somebody called me and said, Rex, I'm not coming to Cleveland Heights anymore. We're not going to, you know, meet at a church anymore. Because I consider the church like college. And I spent my time here. And I got the classes. I got the classes. And now we can just kind of move on. I got what I wanted. And, you know, kind of move on. Well, okay, I appreciate that the church is useful for that. You know, I appreciate that. But that's not the fundamental thing that the church is for. The church is not here for like a college or something like that. But the church is for Christ. And there's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. And you know, it's weird when you kind of touch this, when you touch this, You touch a certain, I would say, focus or energy that God has. And I like to go through a series of verses to show that. It's almost like this. You can be, there are two types of ways to live your Christian life. One is like, is this meeting my needs? Is this meeting my needs? Is this meeting my needs? And then it's kind of like, you know, the Lord is there, and yes, He will meet your needs. But there's a whole other kind of, I don't know, attitude, realm. Lord, is this meeting your needs? And when you get into that way of, Lord, is this meeting your needs? You'll be amazed at how much Jesus Christ meets your own needs. It's just like you've entered into kind of what makes God so interested in us. What is that? The church. Let me show you a few verses. And I hope this thing gets clear. Ephesians 3, 10 and 11. And if you could just follow with me. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, there's a lot in here. But the intent of God giving grace, the intent of His whole creation, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. You know, when we look at the church, Tom, can you come on up here? Oh, no problem, no problem. It's better to sleep in church than through church. Did you ever think about that? All right, Tom, can you make it? Are you all right? Okay. Bill, can you come on up here? And Gene, can you come on up here? Deborah, can you come up here? Okay, just stand next to each other. You know, when we look at these people, can you all smile? This is great. You know, you look at these people, and you think, This is just an average group of people. Deborah, have you ever been president of the United States? Gene, have you ever won the Nobel Prize? Tom, do you have great musical attainments? Bill, have you written, a long treatise on the Bible?
No.
No? Okay. Not that special. But you know what? God would look at these people, and this is what the verse says, right? Through the church. And you think, who's the church is? Oh, that is all those holy people. No. No, no, no. The church is these people. These people. And then God would say, you know what? I'm going to take these people and I'm going to show you my manifold wisdom. So you want to see the manifold wisdom of God? Smile again. Smile. That's it. Thank you. You can sit down. That's all the demonstration was. Look, God would make known his manifold wisdom through the church. Through the church. And so you think like, wow, how is he going to make his wisdom known? It is not out of like making some kind of volcano erupt or some kind of, natural feat. It's person by person by person. Person by person by person. And those people are not separate. Somehow, they're together. And this was, according to this verse, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you ask, okay, sometimes we ask, what is my purpose? That's simple. That's a simple question. But then you could also ask, what is God's purpose? What is the purpose of the ages? What is the eternal purpose of God? You know what it is? To make known his manifold wisdom through the church. Sometimes you think the church is just a band-aid, for people that, you can't quite handle the Christian life on your own. So you need the church, a little group of people that is, supportive. You can cry together, et cetera, et cetera. All of this kind of stuff. And that may be true. But God has something in him that when he sees church, it's almost like, that's what makes me tick. That's what makes me tick. That's what I'm so interested in. I want to make my manifold wisdom known through the church. This word manifold in Greek, it's used to describe pictures, flowers, gardens, something with just a lot of different facets to it, a lot of different angles to it. And, if you look at the church, you just see, if you even just looked at two different people, you will see totally different workings of God's wisdom. And the church would show a lot of different ways. For me, when I was 18, I wanted to be a midshipman in the United States Naval Academy. So I applied to that. I had pretty good grades. I had the recommendation of one representative, U.S. representative from the state of Pennsylvania. And I just thought I was going to get in. And I had another friend there, and, he thought we were going to get in too, both of us. And then I got a small letter. I don't know if they send letters anymore. Do they send letters anymore if you get into college? Or you get a small email? You get a 3-line email. We're sorry. The candidates were extremely gifted this year, and it was tough, but you did not get accepted. Well, anyway, they used to come in a letter. They may still do that. I got a small letter rejection. And then my friend and I, we had this burning ceremony. We took our letters out to the back of his house, into his garden, and just burned them. It's like, anyway, but you know what? For some reason, I didn't go to the Naval Academy. I didn't become a midshipman. I didn't become a, some nuclear person on some nuclear sub or whatever. And I came to Cleveland. And you know what happened in Cleveland? I really met the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. I didn't get the Naval Academy. But you know what I got? I got Jesus. Yeah. What is that? It wouldn't have been my way, but it was God's way. And as I look back on that, I kind of say, thank you, Lord. Rose, would you like me if I were in the Navy? No. It's like, Rose, I just have to be gone for 2 years. We're going under the ice for a while, and anyway, no. Anyway, so my wife is happier too. But you just see the little things that God has done in all of our lives. And what are those little things for? So that we may know Him. What are those little things for? So that we may find grace. And there's some moments of supreme sorrow, of terrible things that happen in your life. And you just realize, no, this is God's wisdom that I may know Him. And you put all the wisdom of God together. And then God says, you know what? That's my church. That's my church. Remember all the smiling faces? That's my church. You know, George passed away this Thursday, early Thursday morning, or Friday morning, sorry. And his last 2 years of his life, he really found the Lord. Would you say that, Tim? Yeah, yeah. Tim, he was your friend, right? You invited him to the church. Yeah. He really found the Lord. And, a number of brothers, we were with him the day before he died. And, you know, he was just so appreciative of salvation. And he was so appreciative of the Bible. And he told me, Rex, I've been reading things in the Bible that I never read before. What a wonderful picture. The Lord waited for the last 2 years of his life. And you know, then he gave him so many riches. And he remembered praying with people in this room. And he remembered people in this room who visited him. And he remembered everyone who had, poured out something on him. And you just think, wow, you know, God, you just have a masterpiece in that person. What is that? You add it all together. What does that equal? That's my church. And you see it? This is God's wisdom. Sometimes people ask me, Rex, why do I need to come Sunday morning? I can't do anything. I can't do much. You know, I can't do much. And it's like, well, it's good to come Sunday morning, you know, just to like, just be here. And you may get something. But there's just something about this, like, hey, if you love the Lord and you come Sunday, it's just kind of like an expression, a time to express the manifold wisdom of God. You know, sometimes you can do something special. Sometimes you don't do anything. You just come and people see, wow, David, I'm so glad you're here. David, just can you stand up and just say, you love the Lord? David, amen. Are you a super great apostle?
No.
David, are you like just like this kind of person that helped 10,000 people?
No.
No. But David, do you love the Lord? You know what that is? An expression of the manifold wisdom of God. David, it's so good to see you. So good to see you. It's just like you put it all together, and then you've got the big guns. You've got the big potatoes. And you've got the little French fries or whatever they are. And you put it all together and you just see, wow, this is the Lord's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. What is God excited for? He is excited for the church. So, I definitely will not get through all these verses. Simon Peter talked to the Lord. The Lord asked him, "Who do men say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." You'd ask, wow, what is Christ building right now? What is he interested in right now? He's like, "I am building my church." This might have been the greatest prophecy of all time. And the more you see people, the more you realize, wow, this is a marvelous prophecy. I will build my church. You say, build a church out of me? What? So many problems. In Corinthians, Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 4:12, "So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." You think about this. You know, there's a treasure in God's eyes, and there's a treasure that Christ is building. It's the church. And Paul says, you know what? You should be the same way. If you want to excel in something, in gifts, in something of your Christian life, seek to excel that you may build up the church. Christ builds. We build. Why? This is the thought. This is the thought of God in the New Testament. Building is the hardest thing. You know, I like to do some repair around my house, and was working on my bathroom recently, and then my stepfather came out for a week, and just a few days, and then he also did a project on my bathroom, and so I have a good number of tools, you know, and so I was proud of those tools, you know. So I just wanted to mention a little something to him. And so I was like, you know, so did you find enough tools? And he was an electrician his whole life. And and I just remember the little laugh that he gave. You know, and then he talked to me about how he broke drill bits because I didn't have the right tool. And here I thought, oh, man, I thought I had a lot of stuff, you know. And then... I sometimes feel the same way with the Lord. Lord, I'm building the church. Do you like how I put those two brothers together? And the Lord's like, ha 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 ha. He's been doing it for a long time. And you think it's wrong. You think, Lord, it must be wrong to put me with these people. And the Lord's like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And I can testify this. You know, I've been with people for, you know, whatever, 20 years trying to be built together in the church. And sometimes, Bill, if I could use you, sometimes I don't realize I'm just like this. I'm just like this. And then, you know, I just... Hi, Bill. I love you. I love you, Bill. You know? But the Lord is building the church. You know what that means? That means he's going to get me to do this. Oh. Yeah, that's right. He's really good at building the church. And he puts people together. And you wouldn't even believe he would put some people together. Thank you. Sometimes he puts me together with musicians. What? Julian, you're a musician. I'm a physicist. We are so different. my mind goes like this, and your mind goes, but it's much prettier. Somehow it's different. But you know, the Lord is building the church, and He does it really well. What is it for? Church is for God. For what? To show forth His manifold wisdom. What is Christ doing right now? He's building the church. What are we doing right now? We would seek to excel, to build up the church. It's kind of like this. Husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Praise the Lord. This is the Bible. You can say praise the Lord to any verse in the Bible. No. Did you ever think about it? Like with the church. The church submits to Christ. The church submits to Christ. It's not like this. There's a church program, and then we go on. And then all of a sudden, where's Christ? Oh. I'm not saying there's not something wrong with on. But it's like the church submits to Christ. The whole church, the church submits to Christ. As the husband is the head of the wife, so is Christ the head of the church. What are we here for? I am not here for my own pleasure. I'm here for Christ. I'm not up here because I want to be up here. I'm here for Christ. Why? We are submitting to Christ. And the church submits to Christ. If Christ says, go east, you know what the church needs to do? It needs to go east. If Christ says, just rest for a while, the church, just rest for a while. If Christ says, go fast, the church, go fast. If a family, if a husband and wife, you know, in a family and household, if the husband and wife, the husband has one direction and the wife has another direction, it makes a lot of strife in the family. But if the husband is the head and has a direction and the wife just goes along with that direction, you know what? Oh, what a sweet family life. What harmony. What beauty. And it's the same with the church. If the church has one direction, Christ has another direction, it's just like, there's nothing satisfying about the whole thing. It's a lot of strife. But you know, Christ is the head of the church. Just like the husband is the head of the wife. And the church submits to Christ. Just like Christ submits to the church. And when we are in this kind of mode, we see how much the Lord loves. Look at this. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church. You know, one day the church will be presented to Christ as a radiant bride. How marvelous. That's so marvelous. And it says, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Right now, I have a lot of blemishes. But I'm in the church. And you know what the Lord is doing? Just washing us with the water in the word that He might present the church to Himself. Spotless, without stain, without wrinkle, without any blemish. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of the body. It's kind of a relationship. You know, the church is really, and there's a lot in these verses. I definitely don't want to touch anything, you know, much, and I'm just going to conclude in a little bit. There's such a relationship. It's like, Lord, we're here as a church for you. And then the Lord says, you know what? I love you, and I've given myself up for you. And it's like, Lord, we're here as a church for you. And it's like, let me wash that stain with the water in my word. And he doesn't hate it. Christ does not hate this. Christ does not hate us. He nourishes and cherishes. He feeds and cares for his body, his church, just like we were his own body. I know, you know, our family has gone through just trials with my wife's health, et cetera, et cetera. And I just feel like so many people here have supported us through that whole time. How did the Lord do that? Why? It's like, this is the church. How did he care for us for that whole time? And is still caring for us in so many ways? What? It's like, our life is for the church. And then the church is for us. Caring, feeding, nourishing. It's this kind of relationship. Lord, I'm just here for you. I just want to go your way. The church just wants to go your way. And then the Lord on his end says, you know what? I will nourish you. I will care for you. I will cherish you. I will wash away your blemishes. I will wash away your spots. I will wash away or take away all the wrinkles that you all together will be presented to me as a glorious bride for me. What is the church? That is the church. What is the church that we, what do we think of the church? It's like, the church is our treasure. I want my life to be for the building up of the church.